As Dave mentioned, my name is Matthew. I'm a deacon in the congregation. I'm a community leader as well. I don't know where my community members are. They're somewhere here. So, here and there. Life has been totally wild this week. Dave actually called me on yesterday morning and was chatting to me on Friday. He said, "Matt, you know, if you don't feel up to preaching on Sunday, there's really no pressure." But as I prayed about it and felt it out in God, I just felt faith. Like, I feel like God wants to do something. My week was totally crazy. I mean, work was already the ghetto, but then it was like go 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 go. Evenings were crazy, mornings were crazy. Thursday night in the early hours of the morning, we got a call from some family members. We had a really traumatic event that happened, some people that broke in and attacked some family members of ours, and it's like, whoa, crazy. Now we're dealing with all of that. We found so much peace in God in all of those situations. And there's a scripture in Romans that says, God works all things for the good of those who love him. And I think that's really like held me together through this week. Is like, actually, sometimes crazy stuff does happen, but when you just lean into God, when you just stay close to him, he holds you together. He's that firm foundation that we actually stand on. So that's kind of the basis of, for me, this week going in, talking about calling. It's like, does everything have to be together to walk in your calling? It does not have to be together. The key thing is that we actually just walk this thing out in faith. Whatever God is asking us to do, we just do that. It's as simple as that. What God gives to you, you give to other people. So I loved what Michelle was sharing about this kind of chain of one person getting saved, God does something, and then to another person, because that's exactly how I actually got saved in the first place. I saw my older brother, who was an angsty teenager with a lot of big emotions, as many teenagers are. I saw him in his late teens, early 20s, get saved and come to know Jesus. And I saw the change. I saw that he became this different person. There was this peace that came over him. There was this wisdom that started coming out of him. And I was like, I think this Jesus thing might actually be, I think it might be for real, you know. My parents had told me about God, but I'd never actually gone into church or anything like that. And I thought, maybe I'll go through like a Christian phase. You know, people like do that in their teens sometimes, you know. There were some guys at our school who were like, oh, they're like the happy clappies, you know. They're like clap during worship. It's weird, you know. If you saw me in the worship, I was there dancing. So obviously I've changed my opinion. We just had some friends, like I got saved through my brother. Then I had some friends from Josh Jen. Who actually invited me to their youth. And I was like, oh, this thing's for real. Like, these people are they're reading the Bible and they're actually living it out. And it says it in the Word and they actually believe it. And I was like, I want that. Actually, that looks amazing. So I started living it out. There was a small group of us in our school. There was a new girl who joined our school. I invited her to church. That went really well for me in the end because she's sitting in the seat that I actually ended up marrying her at the end of it. That was not my intention at the time, okay? This was not a convert-to-flirt situation, okay? She was just a new girl. I just invited her to church. We only started dating years later, so. So, obviously, Luke was talking last week about walking in our inheritance and that each of us have got a part to play. And I think that the most key thing about the part that we all have to play is that it's about loving people. That's really what it comes down to. Are there gifts that God gives us? Yes, there are. Are there callings we need to walk into? Yes, there are. But the main thing is that we're loving people in that. So if all you're doing is loving people right now, you're absolutely on the right track and you're doing the right things. There's a scripture in Ephesians chapter 4, which I want to unpack a little bit. It's 4:11-16. And it says, so it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. You can keep it up there for now. And I think what's really key about this, it's talking about these amazing gifts that have been given to the church. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Notice what it says here, okay, about these amazing gifts. It says, he's given all of these, blah, 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 not to prepare their own TV series and book series and amazing things about how great this person is and how anointed this person is, okay? The biggest gifts in the church are for what? To prepare God's people for works of service, that the body of Christ may be built up. And you can see even with the biggest gifts that God gives to the church, the most powerful ones, the point of it is to equip the body. The point of it is to love the body. The point of it is to actually build up other people. So it's outward focused. It's not a self-exalting thing. It's actually a place of total service and loving others. And it's for our benefit. The rest of the body, it's for our benefit that we would all become more like Jesus, that we would become more mature. And the scripture continues. It says, then we will no longer be infants. It's talking about us now. Tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful schemings. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Now that last part there, as each part does its work, that is us. We are each part doing our work, building up the body of Christ in love. We've all got different gifts. We've all got different stuff that we can do. But each of us actually has to play a part. And if you look at what Jesus wants to do with the world, okay, he wants every single person to be saved. We cannot leave that to the elders on a Sunday, okay? How is Hans supposed to, like, disciple just even that side of the church over there? All those people. He can't do it all himself, okay? If we leave it to just Ruan, and he's got, I don't know, like 47 people in his community or something like that, but he can't get to all those people. If he has to see one person for coffee every day, okay, it's going to take him, like, he'll only see each person, like, once every 2 or 3 months or something like that, you know? There's no way that one person can do everything. All of us have a part to play. And like Michelle, what she was sharing, she just shared to this person. They just shared to that person. And as you step out in the little acts of obedience that God is asking you to do, you play a part. You build up the body in love. You might be a little ligament or something that's just holding people together. You might be the guy who someone walks in for the first time and just say, hello, you welcome them in, okay? My community was laughing at me this morning because I told them on Wednesday that, like, when I was growing up, I was like a very shy person. I was very shy. I, like, to go and talk to a stranger for me was like the absolute, like, the worst thing that I could ever possibly do. And it's not actually a big thing, but literally, like, if I was going to Pick and Pay to go and buy something, like, the moment I dreaded was walking up to the till and having to just, like, give the person my stuff, you know? Yeah, hi, yeah. Yeah. What am I going to say to that person? No, you don't really have to say anything, but, like, I would get so in my head about all of these things. But I knew that God wanted me to love people when I got saved. So what I started to do was I was like, I gotta train myself to be friendly, you know? Got to train myself to have conversations with people who I don't know. So it was too scary for me to walk up to a random person and just introduce myself, say, oh, how's it? So I started just sitting in random places in church. I would sit in a different place, different side every Sunday. So then someone would come and sit down next to me, and I would go, hi, how are you? Yeah, good, good. Yeah, stoked for church today. Yeah. Started just like that, okay? And then why I say they were laughing at me is because I said, I started to develop, like, I'm sure there's a way I can just, like, make it easier for myself. I'll just have, like, questions that I ask people, you know, to make it easy. So I would go to people and say, like, hi, like, how are you? What's your name? Oh, my name's blah, blah, blah. I would normally say, like, have I met you before, instead of, is it your first time here? Because what often happens when you ask a question like that is it's like, yeah, no, actually, I'm leading the church, bro. My name's Andrew Selly or something like that. You're like, oh, sorry. No. So is it your first time here? It's not a good question to ask, you know. But have I met you before is a good one. What's your name? Where are you from? You're from Cape Town? You're from somewhere else, you know? What do you do? Are you studying? Are you working? People are like, you've definitely had that conversation with me. I'm like, yes, I have had that conversation with you. And the reason I have it is not because standard set of questions. It's because I want people to feel welcome. I want people to feel loved. And in me doing that, I'm playing a part in the kingdom. I'm not the biggest, like, evangelist person. I want to be, but I'm not. I'm not the guy who's going to bring 10 people to church. But I'll tell you one thing. If you come to church, I'll make sure that you stick, okay? And that's part of my calling. That's part of what God has got for me. So when people come to my comm group, you're gonna stick, because that's my gifting. I'm just a net who's going to catch you, okay? I'm not going to have the biggest power things. I'm not going to pray Holy Spirit and that side of the hall falls over. But God's taught me how to love people, and that's what I bring to the body. So there are a bunch of gifts that are mentioned throughout the Bible. Now, I've been saying the point is loving people. The point is loving people. The gifts are ways that we often function in how we love people. Okay, the gift is the how you love. It's not the why. Like that first scripture, it said, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists. If that is your gifting, because it is the gifting of some people here, okay? We do have some serious evangelists sitting in the front row on my right-hand side, your left, you know, who've brought so many people to church, okay? But the point is, Divan is not going to be walking around going, and here is evangelist Divan, here to share the word of God with us, you know? That's his function. It's not a title. Okay, we're not going to be calling up, here is Pastor Luke. Is Luke a pastor to us? He is. It's his function. But his identity, he's a son of God. And that's for every one of us. We're a son of God. We may function in those things, okay? But the point is that all of those things are actually just to love people. Okay, so I'm going to unpack, well, not unpack, I'm going to go through, because there's a list of so many ways of things that that we can love people. And instead of explaining each of them, it might be interesting to just see who are some people who walk in this kind of thing. So gifts that are mentioned in the Bible, prophecy is one of them. Any prophets that we know of in our congregation? I would say Dana is actually someone who walks in that really strong. Often brings a prophetic word. God lays something on her heart, and she'll come and she'll bring it from the front, okay? Or she just goes prays for people one and one here and there, but she's sharing God's heart with people. Serving. Any servant gifts that we would know? Clint? Yeah, Clint Clark? Yeah, or Clint Wing? Clint Wing, yeah. Clint Wing is a total serving legend. Get to know him, you'll know exactly what we mean. Teaching gifts. Luke is an obvious choice for a teaching gift. Encouraging gift. Encouragement is a gift. Like, you know, me coming in this morning going, yo, I'm going to be preaching, I don't know. And then here comes Ruan and Gala. They're like, bro, you got this. Like, yo, God's just going to use you. That's an encouragement gift. Is that not an encouragement gift? Okay, giving. Giving is a gift as well. Okay, giving generously to others. I won't put the giving people up because they want to remain anonymous. That's part of the gift as well. Leading. What about leading? It's a gift, okay? Dave is leading the meeting this morning. But some of you guys lead communities. Other people lead worship. Other guys lead Bible studies, prayer meetings, all sorts of things. That's a gift as well. Showing mercy. I would say Paul and Janine are show mercy amazing. The way that they love people, it's like, how do you guys do it? You know, there's a gift of mercy that they carry. Healing. Anyone ever seen someone get prayed for and they see that people heal? They see that person healed. My English is leaving me now. I've seen that often with Jean, where she's prayed for someone, and we prayed for someone in a community one time. They had a sore back. They're like, yo, no, it's been giving me issues forever. I've been going to the physio. And Jean's like, yo, cool, let's pray. So we pray, and the pain is like, whoo, it's gone. She's seen this girl's eyes. She was like, what just happened? It's because God came in that moment, okay? Healing is a gift. Discernment of spirits is another one. Okay, Kina, yeah. Kina sees through everything, it's true. Okay, what about speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues? Okay, different from prayer language, the actual ability to speak in different languages, okay? Anyone got that one? Yeah? I like to think it's one that I'm trying to walk in more and more and more, okay? I love speaking languages, and it's a gift that I've asked God many times. God, give me languages, give me Portuguese, give me French, give me Chinese, give it all to me, you know. Give me Lingala, speak a little bit of Lingala, you know. So that's a gift. And why is tongues important? It's because I might be sharing this right now. If you don't speak English, how are you going to understand any of it? You're not going to understand any of it, okay? So that's, if someone can actually share that with someone else, then it allows to connect beyond culture. Helping is a gift. If you have a bucky, helping is your gift, whether you like it or not. It's just how it works. Justin. Administration is a gift. Danelle. Okay. Hospitality, having people in your home, cooking for people is a gift as well. Word of wisdom, Dave is a big time word of wisdom gift. Just knows the exact thing for your situation, what to do, what to say. Word of knowledge, this is often when God gives you something for someone that you shouldn't have known this. You shouldn't have known this, but God just gives it to you. It's happened to me once or twice. If anyone else knows some good word of knowledge people, shout them out. But it's like, that person shouldn't have known this about me. No one told it to them, but God just told it to them actually for my benefit. And then a big one is faith. So faith, Denise, big time, big time. Faith is this gift that you can just, like, actually, if you walk in the gift of faith, you can probably walk in most of these as well, because you just know, like, if God's asking me to do this, I can do it. And when I ask God to do it, I know that he's going to do it. Oftentimes, these gifts also work in tandem. It's not like you're just giving, or you're just leading, or you're just prophesying. Oftentimes, they all walk together. But the key of how you actually walk in whatever God has given you, number one is to hear from God. God, what is it that you've given me? It's not just to choose, like, hey, I want to be an apostle. It's like, do you know what it takes to be an apostle, you know? Or it's, I think it would be cool to be a teacher, okay? You have to hear from God. God, what is it that you want? Because the key thing to walking in your calling is walking it out with faith. Okay, you got to go in knowing whatever God has got for me, that's what's going to sustain me, the fact that God has spoken this. Not just that it would be a great idea, or I think it would be great for me. Oftentimes, actually, sometimes your calling is like, yo, that's exactly the kind of person that I am. Sometimes it's exactly the kind of person that you're not. Because the world, like, you know, the devil, he knows what God wants to do with us sometimes, and so he'll bring everything opposite to what your calling is to try and shape you into a different person. And as you walk with Jesus, you'll often find yourself shifting and changing and becoming different. Now, I do consider myself a friendly person. I don't consider myself shy. I can go and talk to random strangers, okay? I even, okay, being the guy who couldn't talk to the lady at the till, and, like, you know, my first school camp, I was like, I just want to go home and be with my parents, okay? Like that's the kid that I was, okay? I said to my community one day, guys, I feel like God is calling us to evangelize an observatory, so we're just going to go door to door. We're just going to knock on people's doors and just share the gospel and actually invite people to church. So guys are like, okay, cool. Like, yo, let's do it. So obviously Devon rocks up. Ethan, Sue, there was a couple of others. And so I'm like, cool, guys. So you take that street. I'm going to take the street. Let's just go and invite people to church. So I go and I knock on the first door. And I'm just going for it. Like, hey, we're from this church down in Woodstock. Would you be keen to come? Like, okay, no, not for me. Cool. No worries. Go to the next house, blah, blah, blah. The guys, because I did it with confidence, people thought I knew what I was doing. I had absolutely no idea what I was doing. I'd never done anything like that before. But just because I've slowly just been obedient to one after the other thing that God has asked me to do, he's built me and he's changed my character to be able to walk in these things that I actually couldn't before. So my character has changed as I've walked in those things. 1 Peter 4 verse 10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms, or faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. So there is a faithfulness on our part, actually, to whatever God has given me. I've got to take hold of that, and I've got to make that thing work. So if God's called you to worship, are you practicing your instrument, okay? If he's called you to love people, are you learning how to be friendly? If he's called you to to be a teacher, are you getting into the scriptures? Are you getting into understanding it? These are the kind of things that you need to start being faithful with. If he's called you to prophesy, are you hearing from God? Are you finding him in your own time? Because how walking in your calling works is Jesus gives to you, you give out. It's not I must be this thing. It's I'm literally just giving what God has given to me. I was in my quiet time a week back, or a few weeks ago, and I just felt God speaking to me about that he's got a calling for me to be leading worship, and that is something that people have often spoken over me, but for me it's a very controversial topic. Sometimes I'm like, yes, let's go for it. Other times I'm like, no, I really don't want to do it, and it's like this whole conflicting mind thing for me. It's not an easy thing for me to step out in, but because God is asking me to do it, I'm like, cool. Jesus, are you saying, like, I'm going to go for it? So he's speaking to me in my quiet time. Then does Lawrence not post and say, guys, we need someone to lead at Sunningdale PM this week. Is anyone available? I'm like, I'll just wait and see if someone else is available. But I just knew. I was like, actually, God just wants me to step out in this. It's not what I'm comfortable in, but I'm just going to step out. And so I messaged Lawrence. I'm like, Lawrence, me, I'm available, you know? She's like, yes, come on, go for it. You could do it, you know? I even went into that worship set. I'm telling you some of these stories because sometimes we think what walking in your calling is like is like God speaks to you. It's like you're going to be a worship leader, and then suddenly you go into this like amazing training time, and you come out on your first Sunday that you lead. Everyone is like slain in the spirit, and everything goes great. But actually, what walking in your calling looks like most of the time is God has given you something, and you're going to grab hold of it with faith, and you're going to get it wrong a lot of the time, and you're going to keep on pushing through. And then you see, like, you look at the guys like Mervis or whoever, and they're doing it great. They've been through the trenches, they've been through the wars, and they've just been faithful to God, and He's brought them into more, okay? Now, that Sunday, I'm now leading. Eventually, I've run out of songs, okay? I've got nothing. I'm, like, looking at the guy who's, like, leading the meeting, like, giving him the eye, like, you really need to, like, end worship now, you know? I'm starting to cycle back to the songs I did in the beginning. My fingers are, like, close to bleeding, you know? And we come out the end of it, and I was like, you see, I don't know how that was. And someone comes and says, yo, that was, like, it was like we were in the throne room. I was just revelation of God. And you know what? That's not for me to go, okay, cool, you are, I can lead worship. It's not. Because the gifts are to serve one another, right? So that was me operating my gift, was leading other people. And so I didn't actually feel that, but they got there. And so me stepping out in my gift, me stepping out in faith, even though it was uncomfortable, those people got to experience something of God. And that's the kind of mindset that we have to have. It's not about me. It's about serving the body in love. Yeah. So God, when you're asking God, what have you got for my life? What are you wanting to do? You may at times get God speaking things of your life like, I've got eldership for you. I've got apostleship for you. I've got whatever sort of big sort of ministry, okay? When God's got that for your life, okay, maybe He's asked you to be a teacher, maybe He's asked you to be whatever. When He's got that for your life, it's not something that you have to wait until you're there to start walking in your calling, okay? God has spoken eldership over my life many times since I was like in my early 20s, okay? I'm not in my early 20s anymore, despite the way my face may look. God has spoken it to me over many years. But you know what I often saw happening was that, like, I got saved with a bunch of friends, like I said in the beginning, and everyone was just like accelerating into their calling. You see me now, you haven't seen me for 15 years that I've been following the Lord, okay? All of my friends who I was with, like, what would happen was, even the people who we were discipling, you know, they were suddenly becoming deacons and, like, accelerating. They're like, whoa, like, what's going on? You know, like, I brought this kid into youth, now he's a deacon, I'm just, like, chilling here. Or other friends who, like, Jean discipled, suddenly they're becoming elders, now they're leading a church, and it's like, whoa, like, what's going on? These guys are younger than us, we've been walking longer than them, all these things. And you got to know that God is going to accelerate people at different rates, okay? He's got a different calling and journey for everyone, and you got to watch your heart, okay? I've had to battle through it of, like, when a friend is doing well, to not feel, like, jealous or envious or, like, why are they proceeding on ahead of me? No, we're all on the same team here, actually, and we got to celebrate when one another do well, okay? So if someone is going ahead in God, you back that person, you celebrate that person. When they're getting chosen instead of you, you celebrate it, okay? Sometimes God's doing that specifically for you. If you've got a leadership calling, God is going to let you feel totally overlooked, okay? It's really important to feel overlooked so that your heart is not in being seen. Your heart is not in, it's got to be me, it's got about my moment, all these things. It's not. It's got to be really about serving one another in love. So even though those kind of things have been spoken over my life, I am walking in my calling right now already. I'm loving people. I'm doing everything that God has asked me to do. I'm not concerned about the timing of when that kind of stuff is going to happen. I'm honestly not. It's like, God, today I'm being obedient to what you're asking me to do today. And that's what you got to do. You don't have to wait until you get there one day. It's right here today. God has got something for you. A little bit of my story, because I feel that this kind of thing is important to share, because sometimes you do see someone behind a microphone and you don't actually understand the whole journey that they've been on. I shortly after I got saved, I was in youth ministry for about 7 years, which is about 350 Friday evenings worth of youth and some. It was an amazing time of my life. I was super active in discipling people, loving people, praying for deliverance, praying for healing, leading worship, playing bass, doing all sorts of stuff. And I got to 2017 when I got to postgrad of my studies, and it was hectic. It was really, really tough, and I actually just stop having capacity for everything, was what I felt like. I left youth, and because I was like, sorry guys, I actually just don't have time for this. Like, I was falling asleep on Friday nights because I was just so exhausted. Then I also ended up leaving the worship team at church because the guys were like, Matthew, your bass skills are like, you need to practice, bro. Like, if you're going to be playing on a Sunday, and they weren't saying it like out of tune in me, it was like, actually, I just was not keeping up with the songs. So they're like, Matt, you actually need to practice. And I was like, well, I don't have time to practice, so I guess I'm out, was how I was. I was in res at Obs Square, down in Observatory. Some of you guys know it. Some of you guys are at that res. In the same year, okay, my girlfriend went long distance. So Jean moved to Mozambique. So it was like everything was just kind of like crashing down at me. It was literally like the worst year of my life, where everything that I was walking in God suddenly seemed to like take a stop. Just everything stopped. I didn't see any fruits coming out of like my life. Felt like I wasn't reaching anyone. Felt like I wasn't connecting with anyone. Felt like I wasn't doing anything for God. And that's where I want to put a little bit of a warning: is when life is going wild, you gotta find faith for, Lord, what is the things that you want me to do? Sometimes we do get on survival mode. I was on survival mode there, and why that year, looking back, why I feel like it was such a dry one was because, like, even though God was putting stuff into me, I didn't find that there was anywhere where I was giving out to anyone else. I was showing up for church, I was showing up for Sunday, but because my perspective was like, I'm just on survival mode, I didn't have any outward focus, and so it really felt like there wasn't any fruit coming out of my life. It was only 2 years later where Jean and I got married. We started inviting people into our home just for dinners to like start to connect with people, and then COVID hit, and you couldn't have dinners with anyone, so that actually ended up moving me into the city, which I did not want to do. I was like very comfortable in my congregation in Sunningdale, didn't want to move, had my people, loved being there. But Jesus said to me, Matthew, there's no other choice here. You got to move to City Bull. So I was like, if this is what the Lord wants, this is what we're going to do. Okay, so I moved to City Bull, and suddenly God just started accelerating things in my own life. After 3 years of just feeling like a potato and just being in the back and just coming to church, suddenly God started accelerating things. I was in City Bowl, not 5 weeks, when Milani comes on a Sunday and says, like, she's prophesying. Now, when somebody comes to prophesy over the congregation, it's like, yo, they're going to give a prophetic word to someone, but it's not going to be me. Like, I'm just, like, I've just arrived. But does she not? First person that she picks on, she's like, Matthew, you should be taller. I'm like, yes, Melania, I agree. 5-10 centimeters, Lord, come on, you can do it. But she had this word for me where she was like, actually, you've been hiding in the shadows. You got to get out there. This is not God's plan for your life. God wants you to be seen not for yourself, but so that people can see more of him, that they can see what he is doing, all these things. So suddenly as God started accelerating me, I now need to join a community group. We'd been floating around to a few of them. We found this amazing community group. It was amazing. There were all these young couples in it. It was great. Me and Jean visited. We were like, this is the one for us. We also visited another comm group where the leaders had been gone for about a year. It was in a not such a great state. People were not too close. Guess which community group Jesus told us to join. It was not the great one that ticked all our boxes for what we wanted. That was similar to our comm group back home. He said to us, I want you to go to the struggling comm group. And so we went and we joined, and within a few months, God said, I want you to join over, I want you to take over this comm group. And so I felt that in God, and then Luke said to me, hey, Brie, like, could you take over? And I took over because the first leaders had to leave, then there was another guy who was taking over. He also had to, so I was like, we're kind of the last ones left to take this thing, you know, but actually it was God selecting us for it, and we just saw the life of God coming into that comm group, where we started to love people, where people started to love us. And I don't know if Famunity round one, there's still some Famunity people here from that first rendition of the comm group. But like, it felt within a few months, like, not because me and Jean were doing the things, but because every person was just loving each other, was having people in their homes, was having people in their spaces, that the life of God started to happen. And when we did a comm plant out, a year and a half later, it was like a real tearing, because like we were family and we loved one another. But that was something where it was like, guys, you're going out to love more people. Christine and Ruan, go do it, you know. Not that Ruan was in Ocom, but Christine was. And so God's been doing something in all of those things. But as I was even preparing this, I look back at that 2017 year, which was like a very tough year in my life. And I go, God, what were you actually doing there? And I look back and saw, you know, that was the time where I'd been so focused on ministry for so long. God took me a moment to actually go deep with him. And I had some of my deepest times in worship alone there in my room with just me and my guitar. And that's where I found God. That's where I got rooted deep in a whole new way. And where I found him, where I knew my value is actually in Jesus, the fact that Jesus loves me, not the things that I do. Now the things that I do for him, I do because I'm loved, because I'm secure in him. But it's actually because of that time. And a couple of years after COVID, we had our first gathering. And Andrew said to us at that one, he's like, guys, who is the one person who God is asking you to connect with? Who's the one person who God wants you to bring in who's unsaved? And he reminded me of a girl who I used to share a kitchen with at Ob Square. And there were like three or four of us who would cook together. Most people, it was shared between like 10 people, but obviously most, you know, self-catering rares, you're right, people don't actually cook for themselves, they cook noodles, you know. There was like two or three of us who would actually cook and use the kitchen, and he put her on my heart. And so we'd kind of kept up the friendship over a few years. We'd meet every now and then. And so I was like, okay, cool, we got to try and make a plan here. So me and John started inviting her for dinner or finding hangouts, little church event, come here, come to this. But eventually I felt God saying, I must invite her to community on a Wednesday. Now, I'm a community leader for 2 years already by this point. So it might surprise you to find that I was nervous to invite her to my home group, okay? My home group is amazing, but sometimes you just get in your head about like, what are they going to say? Are they going to reject me? What are they going to do? But eventually, after about, I think it took me like 2 months to get to it, I was like, Karine, do you want to come to our community group on Wednesday? Would you like to come and visit? And she's like, yeah, I'd love to come and visit. I'd love to. Okay? She rocks up at our common on a Wednesday. She walks to the door. Suddenly, she's gone. I'm like, where is she? There's Rachel and Karen. They're talking to her. They're chatting to her. Community ends. They're praying for her. She's crying. Within a few weeks, she's given her life to the Lord. She's baptized. She's baptized in the Spirit. God does all these amazing things in her life. And I'm like, that terrible year in Ob Square with those long corridors, that little window at the end, feeling lonely in that room, okay? And my life just feeling terrible. All that suffering, that was worth it for Karine to get to know the Lord. Okay, she's in our I don't know if she's actually here this morning, but she's in our congregation. Okay, it was all worth it for her to get to know the Lord. And so, whatever season you're going through, whether it's going great or whether it's going bad, just find what is the one thing, God, that you are wanting me to actually step out in. And so, the last thing that I want to share there is that sometimes it is really costly to follow Jesus. It can cost you time, money, lifestyle, all sorts. But it is literally the best thing that you can do with your life. That's what I've experienced. Leading community, loving people, it is the best thing that you can do with your life. When the students were leading church towards the end of last year, Ethan and Dakaro, they're up here doing their announcements. Am I not there like a proud parent with my phone, like taking pictures, like, look at them, they're doing it. Look at them doing their things, okay? There is a way that it matures you to love people, and people also get matured when you're loved, when you're stepping out in your gift. So, like, my day job for me is just supporting actually all of this stuff, you know, the fact that I get to love God and do all of these things. I would change my job if I had to. It's really just it's to support what I'm doing for the Lord. And we need to just keep actually a Jesus mindset for focused on the prize, focused on God. And in Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 2, it says that, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So that's the encouragement to us is fix your eyes on Jesus, because that's what he did. He had his eyes on the prize. He looked to the joy that was before him. He didn't look to, yes, I've got a whole lot of suffering coming up. No, get your eyes off the cost. Get your eyes on Jesus. Just keep looking to him. Okay, run the race with endurance. Okay, that is what Jesus did. That's actually what he did. He scorned the shame of the cross. He's like, I don't care about that. I am running for the joy that's set before me. And what was his joy? Well, is it not us? So we're not his inheritance. He wanted all of us to come and to know him. And like it says as well, you know, that let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles. If you got sin, just get rid of it. Like, don't wait. Just throw it off and hit on that race going for Jesus. Run with endurance. And even if you get knocked down, like I did several times this week, okay? Someone said to me this week, their wife sings the song a lot, I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never going to get me down. It's a great song for following the Lord, okay? It's a great song. It's a great song. So sometimes that's the kind of mindset that we've got to have. You get knocked down, and as many times as Christine gets knocked down, she's going to get back up. I'm telling you. She loves that, hey? Does Christine not love that? Have you ever seen Christine be like, I'm out? She's not. Because whatever life throws at her, she's like, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to do it for him. And we got to keep that same mindset. And I feel like God even wants to activate a couple of people today in walking in their callings. And so I am going to hand it towards Dave at this point. But I feel like there's a little bit of an activation for, like, I don't have to be a professional to walk in my calling. I don't have to be X, Y, and Z. I just got to be faithful to God in whatever he is asking me to do. And so I'm going to hand over to Dave.